Day 337, Inspiration. Lately, I've taken to wondering why I do the things I do for New Orleans. Why do I write, take pictures, participate in various charity and nonprofit activities, and fight so hard for my adopted city? I could just as easily go home from my 9 to 10 hour workday, lounge in my recliner, watch TV and movies, read a book, and go to bed. Especially after days spent covering the Coliseum Place Baptist Church fire and the UNLP process, hours in meetings with local nonprofits, and time spent helping, driving, and reassuring others, I'm a bit drained and ask myself, what's in it for me? One of the answers is obvious. I can't sit still. Doing is such an innate part of me that if I do not, a minor explosion may occur. All of this energy has to go somewhere. It's not boundless, however, as some have begun to think. Another is not so conspicuous. New Orleans is my home, and it is a mark of responsible citizenship to participate in as many activities as possible that will make one city better. This is not socialism or altruism. If you help make your surroundings better, you end up living in that much better of a place. What some don't understand is that by dragging their town down, doing nothing, or relinquishing responsibility and decision-making to others, it is they who ultimately suffer. A third aspect of this puzzle is a quote in Plan for Serendipity attributed to Audre Lorde. And when we speak, we are afraid our words will not be heard nor welcome. But when we are silent, we are still afraid. So it is better to speak, remembering we were never meant to survive. You know where Miss Type A goes with that one. Finally, for better or for worse, as an American and a global citizen, I love New Orleans, and I want to see her potential bloom into an exemplary reality. This place is only a lost cause or a cesspool if we want it to be, so we all do our parts. Today, Adrastos posted a link to my pictures from Sunday. This is a response he received from Valerie Savoie.
To say the people of New Orleans are a special breed is insufficient, though any description attempted would be, so we'll just leave the fact of this plainly said. This is a truth as certain for the native as for, let's say, the more recently established native. Wherever one may have been physically born, there is a spiritual birth in New Orleans unlike any other place anywhere. If you have lived here and have faculty of your senses, you are spiritually here forever, wherever you may be physically. This is a mysterious and insidious phenomenon. I have witnessed it in those living the span of their lives here and in those who arrived later, and yes, even in those who have moved geographically away. We can call this latter group the otherwise located natives. Perhaps it is the very nature of our terra currently infirma which causes the roots of our soil to grow upward. Slowly and as much as without the consciousness of the air as we breathe it in, these soft, tender shoots, say of the bougainvillea variety, rise up and bloom prodigiously within the unsuspecting heart. The pictures provided us by Maitri the Magnificent are testimony to this. Witness Maitri's first picture, the black and white one. This picture is worth 1,000 words. Waiting, as has become a routine of surely everyone's existence here, in the ever-increasing swelter of our summers, under the defoliated city park oaks, those oaks that stand as symbols of our beautiful but crippled city, to participate in earnest in finding a way to resuscitate New Orleans from her near drowning, is testimony to what else but enduring love. The need to revive New Orleans is as much as anything the wish to mend the broken hearts of each of her loyal citizens. I want to thank each and every person in that line, under those broken oaks, in the oppressive heat, determined to stand your ground and the ground of New Orleans, for this is ground that cannot be divided. New Orleans is in your heart, and you, whatever your native designation, are the heart of New Orleans. Thank you from all of us who know what it means to love life, and to love New Orleans.
Only New Orleanians can write prose so poetic in praise of their city. For the goosebumps and pride Valerie's note evoked, I will keep doing what I do. Meeting people, attending meetings, speaking my mind and writing. On behalf of New Orleans, this nation, and fellow lovers of justice and progress the world over, I know what it means to love life.
You wrote this post in a blog, a local New Orleans blog. What is blogging for you? Why do you blog?
Blogging is my catharsis. Some people run, other people sing, have other outlets, and for me, being able to create at a computer is my way of spontaneous act and release. So that's why I blog.
We've just passed the 1 year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. What does New Orleans mean to you now?
It hasn't changed for me. A lot of people, including me, for a while thought that August 29th was some sort of climactic moment, that something was going to happen. But I think it was more of a spiritual pause, after which we resumed what we've always done, and the work is far from over. So New Orleans to me is a work in progress, which can go either way right now, but as long as I live here, I want to give towards its progress.
One of the questions I used to ask people was how their lives changed after Katrina from the way they were before Katrina. Now, having passed a year since Hurricane Katrina, what have you learned in that year? Is there anything that stands out?
There are two things that stand out. My friends, who really are my friends and who aren't, and to keep your friends very close. It's not worth losing people over small things when there are unexpected large things in the distance. The other thing is self-reliance. I've become a very self-reliant person over the last year, and I now do things that, in a city that's just coming back to life, that I would never have dreamed of doing by myself before. So I think it was very cleansing of my old habits, and has made me stronger.
Do you think New Orleans will come back?
There were some aspects of New Orleans that I didn't like before the storm. So if the good things come back, in which people come back and communities come back, I miss seeing families here, whereas now they're strewn all across the nation. If that comes back, that's good. If the old school system and the old roadways or utility system doesn't come back, that's fine with me. So, but I do believe that the city has potential, and it's up to each and every one of us to make it happen.
Well, thank you, Maitri. It's wonderful having your contribution to the blogosphere.
Thank you for having me on your show.
You were talking about a photograph that you saw mm-hmm. in Maitri's post.
Yes.
The people were standing in line to attend a Unified New Orleans Plan meeting. What was it about that photograph that affected you, that stirred your emotion?
I've been very much aware that so much of the rebuilding of New Orleans has been taking place on the level of the citizens who remain here. And while I was aware of that, Maitri's picture really emphasized the powerfulness of the effort of these people who many have lost so much, and yet they're still willing to give of themselves, to give of their time, to give up comfort, all because they love this city. And it made me think about, well, what is this commitment to the city? And then I thought what it meant to be a New Orleanian. It isn't being born here. It isn't having moved here or moved away. It is, in fact, the experience of New Orleans. It's kind of an interactive thing. The identity of New Orleans is so special and so unique that I believe people are drawn to it, and they incorporate it into themselves, into their own identity. And in reverse, I think the identities of the many, many people who were born here, who have lived here and moved here later, also impact the identity of New Orleans' amazing cultural diversity. So together, the people who live here, who were impacted by this place, and who impact New Orleans, make for a powerful force. And I just felt in the moment of seeing that photograph, such gratitude, such amazing gratitude to those people who perhaps don't get the national recognition, negative or positive, that those who are our official leaders do. These are the people who walk down the street every day that you pass by, and you have no idea that you're walking by someone who is working as hard as you are to restore the city. I would hope that from now on, perhaps as we pass strangers in the street or meet them in whatever context, that we'll remember that it is this person who is perhaps as anonymous as I am or you are, is a powerhouse in the rebuilding of this city. I think appreciating one another is an important thing. I think that it gives a special energy to this city. And I think that it will ultimately be pivotal in the healing of this city.
One of the things that I like about what you wrote and what you're talking about now is that you're spotlighting something that is overlooked. And it is one of the things that I find so incredibly inspirational, even though there's this vast tragedy that's affected hundreds of thousands of lives. Each and every one of those lives, each and every one of those people have a story to tell. And each and every one of those person, each and every one of those people represents an extraordinary level of courage and faith in a way that I've never seen before. And I don't know if in recent history we've seen this. It's an extraordinary thing that I don't think people outside of New Orleans might understand or appreciate or have experienced themselves.
I think that extraordinary circumstances bring out the extraordinary in all of us, and that perhaps we aren't so different as our neighbors in the rest of the country might think. I think we have experienced one of the most significant disasters and tragedies in the history of this country that we share. I would hope that our neighbors realize that they too have the kind of substance and the kind of commitment that New Orleanians have. Sometimes we don't know what we have until we're called upon to dig deep inside of ourselves and express it. And so while we may be set apart in terms of the circumstances that we've experienced, we really share a very common bond with the people who populate this country. And that is, just as with other tragedies that happened, New Orleans went to the rescue and witnessed the bravery of how much more culturally diverse can you get than New York City. And yet those people came together as a single force in response to that tragedy. I believe the same thing is happening here, and I believe that those wonderful Canadian Mounties who made it to St. Bernard Parish before anyone else, I love that story. You know, it's not just this country. I think it's all those countries who came and responded to us and who felt responsible for their neighboring citizens, their neighbors, period. Sometimes I think we forget that the best of us, the best parts of us, are inspired by the best parts of other people. And unfortunately, sometimes the best parts of us are inspired by the most tragic of circumstances. The important thing is to remember that all of us are in possession of this powerful force of wanting to help our neighbors and to save our city. And I think the most important thing for many people who must feel in some ways isolated in all of their efforts is to understand that they are not forgotten, that Maitri's not forgotten, that she in fact had a significant impact as I looked at her pictures, that you're not forgotten, that giving voice to so many people in this city is an important thing, and that so many people whom I know with their small, seemingly small roles in bringing the city back are in fact coalescing and coming together and having a very important effect on the city. I hope that we will spotlight them as you are today, as often as possible. It's important to put a spotlight on what is wrong, and it is equally important to put a spotlight on what is right, because we do reap what we put out there. And I think part of the healing medicine of New Orleans is in fact what we do on a citizen level. What you do counts. What I do counts. What we do collectively counts. And nobody, as much as an obstacle as we may be, any particular person is, they are not. They are one person. And again, I just want the people who are out there who are working really hard to understand how much they are loved and appreciated, and how much I believe they are impacting the city.
Earlier we were talking about what an impact the press can have on the portrayal of a place like New Orleans. They can create a very distorted sense of what is happening. And so if you could capture the attention of people around the United States for a moment, what would you want them to know about what's happening here and what you'd like to happen here?
What I would like the people around the country to know is that you can't judge a book by its cover. And while I applaud the media in many ways, I believe that there is a tendency at times, perhaps unintended, to sensationalize that which, well, sells news. So what you're seeing is the tip of the iceberg. And below the waterline, if I may use that term, there lies a vast, vast picture that you can't have opportunity to see, because people are going about their everyday business, and that isn't the stuff of novels or news. That's just the stuff of everyday reality. And the everyday reality of New Orleans is that this is the biggest of all pictures, that people are helping themselves, that they aren't sitting back and waiting for anyone to rescue them, that we are, in fact, in a I think, well-fought and well-thought-out effort to rescue ourselves. So when the media or anyone else portrays New Orleans or similar events that may happen and will happen across the country, I hope that we all will remember that we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg, and that the everyday citizen is probably the most powerful voice, because they are the voice of experience. They are not the voice of interpretation or soundbite. They are the voice of, this is what happened, I was there. I really like Spike Lee's portrayal of what happened here, because he didn't have a narrator, if you'll notice. He allowed people to speak from the first person. And in doing so, I think he did a great justice to the city. I think he did a great justice to the individuals who went through the experience. And what better place from whence the truth comes?
Well, you have a powerful message to convey to local residents and to the nation, and I want to thank you for sharing your thoughts, Valerie.
Thank you very much, Brian.